doctoral program right now. Can you talk about that just a moment?
Yeah, you all actually are going to be guinea pigs for my project, and you don't know that, but my focus is on multicultural, multi-ethnic worship, and specifically in the context of a college setting that looks just like Dallas Christian College. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that and what I have to share with you, but throughout this semester, especially in these next several weeks, my hope is to do a few things that will engage everybody as the body of Christ in worship. And that's a huge challenge, but I think that's something that that we here at DCC can embrace and something that'll be very unique for us.
So bringing your own case study to the doctoral program.
That's here. It, right here.
Nice. Couldn't do it without you. So then talk about real quickly, what is your vision? What is your desire for chapel, for worship within our student body?
Okay. Well, most of my, at least my teaching responsibilities, focus on working with our musicians and our worship leaders. I really feel like I'm one of several people in this community that have a responsibility for teaching worship. Okay. Dr. Stepp does that in the academic realm. Mr. Worley does that through the student development area. Obviously, Eric has responsibility there. Our coaches, other faculty members, we're all focused on how do we worship. And I think that at least what we have here at DCC is a very unique culture, a unique worship culture. And I want you to just look around the room for a minute, okay? Look around at each other. We, I think, very much mirror what John talks about in Revelation chapter 7. He says that before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. And they were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Dallas Christian College is unique, and we are very diverse, not only ethnically, but we are very diverse denominationally and also culturally. And the challenge that I face in terms of planning worship and what happens here on Tuesdays and Thursdays is how do we make that happen when we all come together and we're all from different backgrounds? It's always interesting for me to see how uncomfortable some of you are during these first few chapels as you worship alongside people that are different from you. Not only in race and ethnicity, but also in age. There are a lot of us who are a lot older than you. There's a lot of denominational and religious background differences, and a lot of difference in subculture. And by subculture, I mean when we start meeting together each week, we're going to have baseball players worshiping next to business majors. We're going to have missions majors worshiping next to basketball and soccer players. We're going to have worship leaders standing next to volleyball players and youth ministers and counselors next to preachers and teachers, people who are doing all different kinds of things in life, but we have one main uniting factor, one uniting person, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what I hope that we will focus on. And if what usually happens is those first few weeks, it's really uncomfortable and it's different, but if we will be patient over the next several weeks and the next coming months, we will all grow into mature, spiritually minded worshipers that recognize the unique diversity of the body of Christ. And as Eric said, I'm working on this doctoral thesis project, and we'll start implementing some of these things here in the coming weeks. But I came across a quote from a pastor who ministers up in New York City in some of my research this summer, and I think he really talks perfectly to who we are at DCC right now. And I just want to share that real quick. He says that a truly diverse congregation, or in our context, a college community, where anybody enjoys more than 75% of what's going on is not thoroughly integrated. So that if you're not going to be an integrated church, or if you're going to be an integrated church or college community, you have to be prepared to think, hey, this is great, I enjoyed at least 75% of it. Okay, now for those of us in assessment, 75% isn't real good, okay? But we're not assessing whether you like worship. What we're assessing is, did I experience God? And it may be very different than what you experience on Sunday morning. 9 times out of 10, it's going to be. Right. This James 4 goes on to say, 25% should be granted and left for someone else's precious liturgical expression that is probably very different from yours. Otherwise, it's not integrating. So an integrating college community is characterized by the need to be content with less than total satisfaction with everything. And that flies right in the face of everything that we believe as Americans in the West. I need to be happy and I want to be totally 100% satisfied with everything. But in the world of worship in a diverse community, it just isn't going to happen. Okay, so Forbes says you have to factor in a willingness to absorb some things that are not dear to you, but may be precious to someone else coming in. Some of the things that happen when we all get together are going to be uncomfortable for us, and if I can be completely honest with you, they are very uncomfortable for me many times. There'll be new experiences, and that's okay. We are going to ensure that whatever we do is consistent with Scripture. The worshiping community should be the one place on this earth where we learn to appreciate, celebrate, and yes, sometimes we even have to tolerate our differences because of Jesus' command to love one another. What happens here when we get together for worship cannot always be about us, and so I want to challenge you to look at the worshiping needs of those around you when you come together on Tuesday and Thursday, and not just your own needs. Recognize that there will be those days that what happens in here may not be anything like what you're used to on Sunday morning. I can guarantee that's going to happen. And that's where you need to, if you're from a more liturgical background and that's your style of worship, then you need to find a church that reflects that to go to on the weekends. Or if you're from a more charismatic background, that's where you go on Sunday. And we'll have a mixture of that. We're going to have a service yesterday, or on Tuesday, was extremely formal. Traditional. We were in robes. It was more high church in some ways. And then next week, we're going to have some guys that are going to preach in jeans and an untucked shirt, and they're going to walk around. But the main thing is they're going to be preaching Jesus. And we're going to be singing about Jesus. And that's what's going to unite us. I think that's healthy that we're different. One of my favorite books, Harold Best, those of you that are in my worship classes have read this. He has a book called Unceasing Worship. And his premise is that no matter what we are doing, worship never ends. We are always worshiping someone or something. And what changes is the object or direction of our worship. So when I sin, I'm still worshiping. I'm just not worshiping God. I'm worshiping money, or I'm worshiping an addiction, or I'm worshiping an unhealthy relationship, or I'm worshiping money, or whatever that is, something has taken the place of God. And so our goal today is to really talk with you and help you to look at worship differently. It's not just the music we sing, which is why we're not doing any today. Because we are gathered for worship, we're just not doing it in the way that most of us think. Okay, and so Eric, let me ask you then, what's your vision for the spiritual formation aspect?
Well, I wanted to add just real briefly, we had a service last year that just really crystallized our dilemma, where we had a certain student come and say, and you told me about this student, said, Mr. Spees, I'm really used to a formal type service, and I don't feel integrated here because there's no structure and it's just kind of loosey-goosey and the Spirit's going to lead us. And about the same service, another student came and said, you know, I come from a background where we really emphasize the Holy Spirit, and we just seem so structured and so rigid. These students are talking about the same service.
Yeah.
The same service.
Yeah.
So,
and that's because there are about 190 of us here, and if I went around the room and I said, what's your preferred style of worship music and what's your preferred style of worship, I would get 190 different answers. And that's because we're all unique, and we all worship differently. So that's why this whole aspect of spiritual formation and you developing your personal worship disciplines is so important. Because
right.
The way I worship in the car going home is far different from what I worship here on Tuesdays, Thursdays. Sorry to disappoint you. You know, I like what we do here, and it has a purpose, and I recognize that what I do here is for you,
right.
To, and I get to come and I get to worship with Miss Escalon, and I get to worship with Miss Reynolds, and I get to worship with Miss Latiger, and I get to worship with Corey, and I get to worship with Adrian, and whoever else is here, because at that moment it's not about me, it's about what we get to do as the body of Christ. But if I want to worship with the Gaithers and listening to that driving home, that's my personal time. Okay? Or if I want to listen to Jesus Culture or Bethel or Chris Tomlin or whatever it is, I have 23 other hours during the week that I get to do that, 23 hours a day during the week that I get to do that. And that 1 hour that we're here together, man, my goal is to engage everybody as much as possible, recognizing, according to Mr. Forbes, if we can get 75% of you all happy, then I guess we're doing pretty good. But over the semester, hopefully, we'll all engage in some way or another.
Yeah, so there's a big element of reciprocity, a big element of give and take. Yeah. And as you mentioned, I integrate some elements into chapel that I don't particularly gel with. I'll be real candid. Interpretive dancing doesn't do it for me.
Sorry, Amaurice.
But I love you. And here's why I can say that in front of everyone, is because, Amaurice, I've heard so many students go, that was an amazing experience for me. And I go, I mean, I like it, but I don't connect with in worship, but I see that other people do, and that's why we've had Amaurice, and we're going to continue to do so. You ready?
Yeah.
You want to come up today for a? we're going to incorporate different arts and things. When someone's painting on stage, it distracts me. I'm just speaking personally, but I've heard from other people that they connect and they have a worship experience and they can identify aspects of the Lord, and so we include those things, and it's that same tolerance that we're looking for with our students to embrace communal, diverse worship. And so my passion for spiritual formation, I already got to share some of that yesterday in Illuminate. Scott said, the other part of my passion for spiritual formation is on page 2 of your syllabus, so if you would turn to the non-existent page 2.
Unless you're a senior.
Seniors have them. I liken what we do here to soldiers in the field. You guys know a soldier's job, a soldier's function is to go out and engage with their community. Sometimes it's keeping peace, sometimes it's making war, whatever it is, you know. They spend a lot of time in their base, don't they? But their function is out doing what they do, out in their region. They come back to their base to resupply, to rest, to regroup, to get some directives. I really view our time in chapel and church, for that matter, a lot the same way, that your function, your spiritual act of worship is very much out there. But what we do as Christians is we make a complete exchange, as Western Christians, we often make a complete exchange where my spiritual act of worship is only in the base. So I come to chapel and that's my worship experience. While it is a worship experience, sometimes we make it our only worship experience. The primary function of the church has become the show on Sunday morning. Like it or not, that's what a lot of our churches and our culture look like. And our desire, my passion for spiritual formation, is for us to understand that those are important times to come and to re-equip and recharge and encourage and get some instruction, but then to go out and use that where our primary function is out being living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. That should be in the Bible somewhere. It is. So another burden that I shared with you guys yesterday is our mentoring program. Reggie Campbell is an author of a book. We've had Reggie Campbell come and speak and a mentoring specialist. And he said, the worst thing you can do to incorporate mentoring is program it. And we have a huge mentoring program, right? He says the worst thing you could do is to structure it. We have to put some structure on it to make sure that it happens, right? But our desire is that you guys will see beyond the confines, that we can establish a culture where those dynamic relationships are going to happen organically, okay? And sometimes we're going to stick you with a person where it's not necessarily organic. And Mr. Worley, and my desire is to be flexible enough where we can, okay, that one didn't work. We'll move you here. We'll move you into a different part of our program, right? But our desire, and this is the angst of every minister, right, is to set up a culture where your sheep, your people, your parishioners, whatever you want to call them, are growing through these organic, dynamic relationships. And I told Scott, we need to set up a mentoringmingle.com so that you guys can get paired up a little bit better. We have two lists, and we kind of like, some of them we're just like, I just throw a dart at it. And I'm just kidding, but not far. Some of you, I mean, we know you a little bit, but we don't know exactly who you'd work best with. You can work on a mentor. You could give that to one of your worship students.
We could.
MentorMingle.com.
Yeah, and I would say don't, just because you have been assigned a first-year mentor, especially those of you first-year students, if there is another professor, another staff member, you say, you know, I would like to get to know Bruce Long because there's something about him that God has just, you know, he's a godly man and I want to know what makes him tick. Go have lunch with Bruce Long. You're not going to offend me if you're my mentee. I mean, that's natural. Or if you say, you know, I'm glad I'm with, you know, Mr. Hinton, but, you know, he doesn't really do anything for me. I want to talk to Professor Hardy, you know, or to Carla Poole. I mean, make it your mission to seek out people and talk with different people. And there will be somebody that you will gel with, and the person you've been assigned may or may not be that person. Okay, that's how we are implementing the program. But there are a lot of different people here who would love. I can count on my left hand in 12 years the number of students who have come to me personally and said, Mr. Spees, I'd like to visit with you, and I'd like to talk with you about being my mentor. And that's in a school that talks about this a lot. We expect someone else to do it for us, and it really is up to you. And God may, over the next couple of weeks, you know, you may see Dr. Horn and say, you know, he's an education guy, and I'd love to be a teacher, and he's not my main mentor, but I'm going to spend some time with Dr. Horn because I think he's got something that can help me. And we'd love to do that, I promise you.
Yeah, and my last burden for students is to simply encourage you guys. You know, JFK is famous for it when he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I think there's real wisdom in understanding that if you want to get something out of this, you have to put something into it. And so that's true of our chapel service. I've talked to a lot of students who are still expecting to be fed without bringing something to the table. Understand? And so, I mean, I want to encourage you, and we're gonna equip you guys with some tools to do this too. Okay, discern how you can invest in your college, and how you can invest in the program, whether it's chapel or whether it's the events that are going on here. Ask what you can do for your college, and by doing that, you're going to experience that fulfillment that the college offers. And gosh, our relationship with God works the same way. If you expect to get out of church, you're going to be disappointed by church. And so that's my encouragement for you also. We have asked a few folks to come up, and we are very interested, like I said, in broadening our collective perspectives about what worship is beyond music, beyond even being here within these walls. And so we've asked a few folks to share those experiences, their perspectives. One is very dear to me as far as it's a deep conviction, and that is worshiping through my work. And so we've asked some folks to come up here that we have seen modeled this and grow in this, and so I am extremely excited to invite Gary Adams to come up and to talk to us for the first time, right? Have you ever spoken in chapel before? All right, Gary Adams. And also, as you can see, is Jared Meese. Sorry, the applause is overwhelming. Couldn't introduce you. Jared, I've asked to come because I've seen and I've heard others talk about Jared's growth in his work ethic. And you guys are moving into a season, if I could for a second, where your work ethic is going to be, especially in our culture, your primary testimony. For some of you, it'll be the way you raise your kids, and that's another season. But especially for you men, like it or not, your testimony is going to be how hard and how well you work. All right? So I wanted to have you guys come up and to share a little bit with us. So, Gary, I want to start with you. Can you worship God through work?
Well, when I came here 11 years ago, I had no idea. But, okay. I've always been in construction, and I think God was preparing me to be here at DCC for as long as, you know, I'm here. But, yes, I think when I'm out, you know, repairing stuff, replacing stuff, working in the grounds. You know, a lot of people have, they work for me and I have them pulling grass. But to me, that's worshiping God, you know, keeping his place clean and building. And I kind of look at it like sowing seeds. I think I mentioned this to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the seeds, I love to see it grow, and I love to see the college grow. And all the improvement we've done in 11 years I've been here, You know, you can step back and, you know God really, really approves of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but, yeah, and, you know, if you don't see me in here very much, it's because I'm usually out fixing stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now, I got four vendors on campus, so.
You already got rid of one, huh?
We had a little accident yesterday, so.
No.
Oh, I thought you meant that.
We didn't skip that part.
Yeah.
You said earlier you had five.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
we're off in
vendors. So, but that's my way of worshiping is you know, taking care of God's kingdom, and this is, you know, a big part of His kingdom right here.
Yeah, what's really been impressive, and this has been identified by several of our staff, is the ministry you've had through the work experience. Talk about that for a second.
Well, my biggest part is student workers. I get
right.
to work a lot of the students here. Probably any of you who've been here 4 years have had some contact with me one way or another. But like during the summertime, this past summer, I've had as many as 17 student workers. And that's talking about mentoring. You know, I think I'm mentoring them, but they're also mentoring to me. You know, I learn so much from them, and it just keeps my spirits up all the time. And I love seeing them. They'll come to me and say, well, I don't have any skills. Well, if you're willing to learn, here you go, and here's your skill saw, drill, or whatever. And by the end of the summer, they've grown, and Jared's a true part of that.
Yeah, speaking of which. Well, yeah, Jared, am I right in identifying that you have grown in your work ethic? Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah.
What's up with that? Why are people, I mean, because other people have said this. What happened?
Well, I mean, I've always had a work ethic, like.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, it's not to say it was bad. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've just been given the responsibility and the opportunity to show my work ethic. Because I used to serve in the church. My mom would sing, and every morning I would go and turn on the computers and set up all the chairs and lights before even the children's pastor would get there. And so I guess I've always had a good work ethic. This has just been a great opportunity and for me to show it out to everybody.
How do you connect your specific work to worship?
My work to worship? Just reminding myself that even if I am hammering something down and hit my thumb or something, that
you call on the Lord.
Yeah. God, that hurt. it reminds me that even the little things are worship to Him. It's not just you say worship and people think, oh, let's clap and let's sing, because no matter what, you say worship and that's the first thing that comes to mind. Even if, like, people get a few seconds and they'll think, oh no, that's worship too, but it's easy to forget that everything else is considered worship too.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Good. All right. Well, thanks guys for sharing. Let's hear for our honoring, I guess, the folks. We also are very passionate at DCC about broadening our perspective of the Lord. I believe that God is so large that we will never encompass Him with our perspective. Our wisdom will never achieve an understanding of the Lord, right? But at the same time, we're called, and just as part of growing and maturing, to broaden that perspective and to mature in that understanding of who He is. And one of the best ways that I've discovered for us to do that is to step into other cultures and to view the world through other people's eyes for a time. And so we've asked a few folks to come up who have stepped into other cultures, and I wanted to give them an opportunity to share about that. So if you guys would welcome up Nicole Garza and Caitlin Martin. So, Nicole, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a traditional sari from Nepal. So.
That you got in Nepal?
That I got in Nepal.
Right. Fantastic. So you went to Nepal on Kingdom Week, several of the others here also. What did God show you through that experience? How did that broaden your perspective?
I never really wanted to go on a mission trip. It wasn't something that ever fazed me because I want to be an elementary school teacher. So I was really focused in on just getting here and getting through with my education. But going there, I was really surprised to see God's love in those people, like people who, like, their testimonies were they had nothing. I mean, right. You were there, and these people, they had no other person to go to but Jesus. And it was really cool to see how they, some of them give up their families and everything else they have mm-hmm. to just lay down and worship the one true God because they've realized it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's intense. And then, Caitlin, you were able to go with April to France and do some stuff. How long were you in France this summer?
We were there for 3 weeks altogether. So
they saw the Tour de France 2 feet from them. I'm still a little bitter about that. So you were able to go to France, and tell real quickly, what did you do there?
We were with an English youth camp, so we in the Alps. So we got to spend 2 full weeks with 14 to 18-year-olds, most of them non-Christian. France is claims to only be about 4% claim to be Christian. So, but the parents send them there to practice English. So that's kind of the cover of the camp.
And then what did you get to do? I know that there were some surprises in terms of your curriculum and what you got to do. And
yes. The reason April and I went was to lead worship for their morning and evening sessions. But when we got there, we found out that they have workshops throughout the duration of the 2 weeks. And they kind of sprung on us, hey, sorry, you've never been here before, but would you please do a music workshop? And it was like, okay, what is that? I don't even know what that is. So we thought about it for a very short amount of time because I needed an answer, and we decided to do it. So it was 2 hours a day. We had, and they had all failed in the past. That's the other thing, they warned us that none of these workshops have worked in the past, so we just want to let you know.
Just going to keep
it's
doing
like, this. Okay. So we weren't really encouraged. Some of the kids came up to us after we presented that our workshop was going to be about worship, not just music in general, asking, well, is it just going to be worship music? And we said yes, and they're like, oh, okay, you know, that's cool. So we didn't think anybody would sign up, so we were kind of relieved. But then, of the 50 to 55 campers, 10 students signed up, or 10 campers signed up, and it was overwhelming and scary, but we got to 2 hours a day, play music and teach these kids how to be part of a worship team, that it's not, because all of them are accomplished musicians, all of them could perform classical guitar or sing classically, but they don't know how to worship, they don't understand what worship was in a church music setting. So we got to talk about what worship means to them, how we can utilize different elements in a service. So we got to do that for 2 hours each day for 2 weeks.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Well, I want to hear from both of you, if I could. What did this experience mean for you and your growth? So what did this trip mean to you? Nicole, you want to start?
Yeah, I can. This trip was really life-changing for me, and it really opened my eyes to see. I mean, we live in a very, very, we're so lucky that we're here, because you go there and these kids, like, they have nothing. And this trip really opened my eyes to see, like, just being able to serve. And some of the days we were just doing small things while we were there, but this trip really opened me up to seeing, like, that when I got back here, like, reading my Bible was being taken for granted. And I've really been able to sit down and think about that a lot, because these people, like, they didn't have Bibles, and we got Bibles for like 8 cents there, which is ridiculous. And we got to pass those out to people, and the people there were so hungry for God and His Word. It was amazing to see that, and I plan to go back someday. It just changed my life, and I can't wait to go back and see those people again, mm-hmm. because it was really just amazing getting to worship God just by being with them and hearing some of those women's testimonies and those men mm-hmm. who were taken from really just crazy situations. So,
mm-hmm. Caitlin, what did your trip mean to you?
I've never really been on a missions trip before. I didn't, like Nicole, I didn't want to go anywhere. So when this came up, it just, I felt, you know, God's really leading me to do this. So I went knowing that, and it's kind of the opposite of Nicole, people, the kids that come to this camp or came to this camp have everything. Their parents are wealthy. They have everything. But they're post-Christian. They don't see a need for God. They don't want to hear about it. They don't see a need for God. So it was a challenge for me, and it's something I believe I needed in my personal relationship with God, to step out of my comfort zone, which was something I'd been stuck, I guess, in like a worship rut. But being in this different culture with these kids who just want a relationship with you, and you just have to break down so many barriers, it was a different way to worship. We went there to do music, but I feel like I worshipped more in just building relationships with these kids who had broken homes, and their parents are wealthy, but they don't spend time with them, and just these situations. It was completely different. So that helped me grow the most, I believe.
Good. Very good. All right, well, you guys, let's hear it for our guest, for Caitlin. I might mention, if you'd like to share such an experience, Kingdom Week 2015 is for you. We've asked two more to come up and to share with us through experiences that you guys are engaged with, all of you on one and many of you on the other, and that being athletics. And so we've asked Thais Little to come and speak to worship in athleticism, and Sayla Burnett to come and talk about worship in academic pursuits. So if you yes. ladies would come up. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming. Sayla, you received some great award at the Honors Assembly. What was that? You can tell me because I asked you, so it's not bragging.
I got the, I don't know what exactly the title is, but the highest GPA.
Yeah, so top of the class in academics. And top of the class in academics sitting right over here. Yeah, and why is that, Sayla? Talk to me about how your academic pursuits overlaps with your desire for worship.
Well, I think that I want to share this verse. It's Colossians 3:23, and from the New Living Translation, and it says, "Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord, rather than for people." And so I just kind of keep that in mind whenever I'm working, doing studies or whatever it is, even though it seems kind of boring at times when you're reading a bajillion pages, but it's for a purpose. And so I think whenever you're in classes and you learn, then you're able to take these things into the future and be able to worship God as you teach others about Him.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. And it helps to be naturally brilliant, right? Just kidding.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, thanks. Thais, we wanted to have you come up and talk about the athletic experience at DCC, and I know you went through several of our athletic programs while you were here, and you graduated in 2008, was it? 2010, okay. And they blur, right? Mark Worley, don't they blur? I mean, yeah. Okay, well, moving on along.
Mark remembers this.
Mark knows. I'll reference him next time. So, Thais, is athletics a worship experience? Can those two meet?
They can't. You know, the passion that you have for a sport is a gift from God. The ability or the talent that you have for the sport is a gift from God. So you kind of have to check yourself. What can I do that will please God? How can I handle or work with my teammates in a way that pleases God? How can I treat my coach in a way that pleases God? How can I treat my opponents in a way that pleases God? When things don't go my way on the court, how do I act in a way that pleases God? So, I mean, it checks you, even though it's a team, you know, thing. Most sports are a team thing. It's a lot of individual, like, checks, a lot of heart checks, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's all about pleasing God, because He's the one that gave you the ability, the talent, the passion. So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good.
So do your players, I've always wondered this, and I didn't prep Thais for this question. Do you feel that there's more spiritual growth in winning or losing?
Unfortunately, I don't know much about winning, but
since 2008.
That wasn't in the script either.
What's that?
That wasn't in the script either. But we're all this year.
We're all this year, right?
Hey, ladies.
I mean, I'm being honest.
This is our year.
Let's go. I don't don't know, losing like, you know.
Should have Jerry Jones up here.
No, in our past experiences, we've competed against teams where we're like, we should have won, but we didn't. Like, what could we have done better? And it's, I mean, it's really a humbling experience. You kind of have to be like, you know, have to humble myself and realize, you know, we didn't do this right, and so they won. They're better than us, and so it's more. I don't know. Yeah. from my experiences, yeah, it's just humbling and still giving God all the glory, and you know, because you went out there and you gave it all you had, and the other team had a little bit more than you. but yeah, I hope to experience that winning this year.
Sorry.
I believe it.
Yes.
And it'll be next year now. Yeah.
Yes.
So what are some specific, Selah, disciplines that you've incorporated that have helped you to view I view academics as just, I mean, it's just the perseverance. It's looking at the long race, and we're, you know, it's August the 21st, it's the second day of school, and we're all pretty well fresh. I can tell you in about 2 months, it's going to be, oh, you know, how are we going to make it to December 10th? And that's the goal. So what do you do, what have you done that have made academics this pursuit to stay focused and use it as worship?
Okay. Are you asking, okay.
Yeah,
well,
you personally, what have worked? Because several people, I mean, if academics is not my strong suit, okay, and for me, I get easily distracted, and it's that sitting down and forcing myself to read or to write or whatever that is. How do you push through that?
How do I push through it?
Yeah.
Well, there have been times where I have been down and out, as you can say, and I just want to go on a side note. And there's been times where I've cried over assignments. I don't know about y'all, but I have. And it's in those times where I'm like, oh, Lord, this, I'm able to worship you because you're helping me get through this and turning it in before the due date or a little after the due date. Before the due date, preferably, okay? I think just remembering why I'm doing this and then sticking with my things that I do, like every night before I go to bed, I write a to-do list of everything I have to do the next day, everything I need to accomplish. And then I'm just going to go ahead and give freshmen some notes.
Yeah.
Always attend study groups, ask for help, ask your tutors, and then always take notes.
Okay.
Especially in Dr. Barrier's class. Yes. And read the syllabus a lot.
Good, yeah, and from my own personal, I sent, I think, Dr. Halen, Bruce Long, a couple of people, this went, the very first class I had in my doctoral program, and this was 3 years ago, the professor said something about viewing this whole process as an act of worship. And I was 49 years old, and I thought, I have never looked at school that way. And I was embarrassed to say that. You know, I've always been a hard worker, and yeah, I need to push through this. But he said, I want you, because just like you said, there will be the days you're tired, you're weary, you want to cry, you don't get it.
Yeah.
But you view it as an act of worship, and that really changed the way I viewed everything. Okay, and there's some things I despise, I didn't want to do it, but in looking back, it helped me grow. So
there's purpose.
Good. And it's the same with athletics. Practicing. For those of you that are music people, we keep saying you got to get in the practice room. Well, the reason is that's that discipline to make you better. Athletes have to practice. People in academics have to study, have to practice.
Exactly.
Good.
All right. Thais Little and Selah Burnett. I want to give you guys an opportunity to participate. I mentioned earlier that I want you to have some tools to participate in the worship experience here as we grow together as a community. And so we've created a tool to help you do that. And it is this this email address that maybe you'll see here. Yeah, mystory@dallas.edu. I want to give you guys the chance to share your story in written form with Scott, with me, And we'll have an opportunity to either follow up with you or to consider putting your story, integrating that into our chapel service. There's also a new deal that Joshua Houston is going to be doing with us with Crusader News. He's created the back page. And the back page is going to have a lot of different opportunities there. We could highlight some employment opportunities. We could share different pieces from our students. We could share a word study from our faculty. So there will be a lot of dynamic things there. I can't guarantee that we can use everything. Okay, so if we're not able to integrate that this year, maybe we'll use it next year after you graduate. But we want to give you an opportunity to share what God is doing in your life and share your perspective with your peers. So that web that email address already is live, so you guys can email your story to that. If it would be something that we could be read in 3 to 5 minutes, that would be ideal, or if it could be something that could fit on one on the back page, that's what we're looking for, okay? So we want to make sure that you guys have that available to you. It could be your testimony. It could be, you know what, it could be a poem. I'd love to get some art and some poetry in our services. It could be a psalm. It could be what you, listen, most of you guys journal at some point, and I bet most of you have some journal entries that would be beneficial for us to share. It would be edifying for us to see what God has done in your life, because we're on that same journey. So it could be a journal entry. It could be your meditation in the park. For those of you guys who have been here, who knows what that is, I guide you through writing a psalm sometimes. It could be a psalm, something like that. So I invite you to share it there.
So we get ready to wrap up. This morning we've looked primarily at worship and how that plays out with the great Shema, in loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And so I hope that that has helped you to look at worship maybe in a different way than you have before. But a closely connected aspect to that comes from what you remember in the story in the Gospels, when Jesus was approached by one of the Pharisees, and he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then he goes on, he says, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think an important part of our community here, it is impossible, I think, for us to say, well, I love God and I hate you. I don't see how that is possible in Scripture and in everything we do, and yet that so many times, that's probably the greatest challenge of how we express our worship, is our relationship to other people. And I know that some of you have been in the dorm for 5 days and you're already tired of your roommate. Okay, some of you are already tired of the person you're sitting next to in class. Okay, you may be upset with people at work. Some of you on your athletic teams, you're already tired of whoever it is you're playing with. Okay, I want to encourage you that this semester, an important aspect of our worship to God is our relationship with one another. And it's going to start right in here. If we can come in here and we can recognize that we are very different, we come from different backgrounds, different stories, different ways of even looking at life, but focus our attention on Christ, I think we're going to do some really amazing things, not only here on this campus, but throughout this world, especially as you all prepare to go out and do ministry. And so that's been our intent today. And Eric's got a very practical way that we're going to start this relating with one another, and we're going to do that right now before we finish up.
You guys should have received an index card. If you didn't,